1015 WJBK.
Little Stevie Wonder Contract on Love, 1962. That's who Dave Schaefer was talking about, and that's the song he was talking about. Stevie was on Midnight Special or something last night, Jack Ryan was telling us. We're going to be talking to Tom Shannon in just a couple of minutes. We've got to sell some groceries first, just to let you know what's going on. Tom Knight of Night Train Productions, myself, Tim Nixon, taking a look at rock radio of the 60s as Jukebox Memories continues. I hope you're enjoying the show today, and you can also give us a call at 545-5656 and tell us your favorite disc jockey of the 60s. It's just kind of an informal poll, all right?
Don't wash your windows, what can it do? You'll be surprised to see them when purple sparkle makes it clear. You'll see a whole new world out there.
It's window cleaning time again, and what a difference you'll see when you use the best Purple Sparkle Glass Cleaner. And we say best with conviction because Sparkle was judged the best for streak-free window cleaning when compared with the other leading glass cleaners by National Consumer Rating Guide. That's right, Sparkle's streak-free heavy-duty formula cuts right through greasy dirt and grime to leave your windows sparkling clean. Sparkle's economical, too, and the sprayer's guaranteed for 5 years. Buy the refill size for even more savings. And be sure to watch for Sparkle's special buy two, get one free refund offer. Look for specially marked bottles and put a little sparkle in your life today.
Sparkle is the one you see to clean your windows beautifully. Leaves no streaks, cleans dirt and grime. Just spray and wipe for sparkle shine.
Order a steak and eggs for room 7015.
Right.
Salad and soup to 6012.
Right, got them.
You know, here we are in the kitchen of Detroit's best hotel, the Westin, and all of a sudden those guests up there are ordering food like there's no tomorrow.
Steak and eggs to 5510.
Right.
It's the Westin's $50 weekend bonus offer.
Hey, I thought that was over in August.
Club sandwich to 6428.
Right.
Nah, they extended it through December 4th.
You mean with every $75 weekend room night, folks can still get $50 in free food and beverage they can redeem in any hotel, restaurant, and lounge?
Cheesecake to room 6720.
Right.
And the offer includes our 24-hour room service, too.
Yeah, you're telling me.
Peanut butter and jelly on whole wheat.
Right. Hey, that's not on the menu.
That's my lunch.
Oh.
Want to hand it to me?
Can you believe it? You get $50 in free food and beverage with every $75 weekend room night at the Westin. Call 568-8200 in Metro Detroit. Outstate, call 1-800-228-3000 for your $50 weekend bonus. Available Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Restrictions apply.
Amazing, but true. In the Detroit Tri-County area, January through June 1983, our Renault and AMC dealers outsold the Chevy, Dodge, and Plymouth dealers on an average retail car sales per dealer basis. And we outsold Toyota, Datsun, and Mazda combined in total volume. Renault, the one to watch. Industry leader in sales increase. Renault Alliance, car of the year, a state-of-the-art beauty. See the amazing new 1984 Renault Encore hatchbacks. Sporty, high technology, great mileage. Built in America, starting at $57.55. Plus, you can win a new Renault Encore by entering our amazing mileage challenge. Guess how far the new Encore will travel on $100 worth of gas. Enter at any Detroit area Renault and American Motors dealership through October 7th. You're seeing lots of Renault Fuegos and Fuego Turbos on the streets of Detroit. You'll love the car. It's sharp, it's racy, it moves, and prices start at $86.95. And now save up to $1,000 in special factory-to-dealer incentives. Come see us today. You'll be amazed.
We were going to do something different there. I guess we're not. Wait a second. I have somebody on the line. Hello, who's this?
Hello, it's Tom Shannon.
You got to be kidding.
No.
Do you have any idea, Tom?
I'm sorry, Tim, what?
Do you have any idea how many people say, is Tom Shannon going to be on the show? And we say, yeah.
Great.
Okay, where are you calling from?
Well, I'm calling right now from New York State, from Buffalo, New York, which happens to be my hometown.
And you're working up there?
Yes, as a matter of fact, the station I long started with in the 50s, WKBW. It's a 50,000-watt AM station.
Mm-hmm. And is it, what kind of format?
I would say the same as a CKLW. It's contemporary hit music, pop music.
And you love it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. I always have. I'm a dyed-in-the-wool pop music guy for 800 years, you know. So it's nothing unusual for me. It's the same standard operating procedure that I've been operating with for 25 years, I guess, or more.
You know what everybody says about Tom Shannon?
What?
He's a nice guy.
Oh, thank you, Tim.
Did you perpetuate that kind of image, or is that just how you are?
If I had a publicity agent, that would have been terrific. I would have paid him dearly for that, but no, I never did. I'm glad that that's the way I'm perceived, though. Thank you.
Okay. We have some things here, some pieces that I think you might even be surprised at. I think you might not be as surprised as you may have been, because Tom Knight warned you they were coming up.
Right.
But, I understand you knew Chubby Checker just a little bit.
Yeah.
And we have a little piece here we're going to play for you.
All right.
Okay? So hang on.
All right.
Are you ready?
10D, Honey 56, and Chubby Checker. Let's do the Freddy from 1965. And before that, of course, was Chubby doing a Tom Shannon promo. Tom?
Yes?
Is out in Buffalo right now. He's consented to visit with us just a little bit. You were just speaking about going back to CKLW, and Dave Schaefer and yourself kind of outlasted everybody over there.
Absolutely, Tim. As a matter of fact, the early days, I'm talking about, this would have been 63, 64, and it's really primarily because of Dave Schaefer that I ended up at CKLW. I was running a record studio here. I had left the air in Buffalo, and I was running a record studio, and I was sort of on the beach, if you will. I had left the one job that had done very successfully, and Dave and Bernie Benick from Swan Records called me one night. They were having dinner talking about an opening at the radio station. Terry Knight apparently was leaving to go with the Rolling Stones or whatever his quest in life was at that time. And they called me, and I came up to visit, and Dave put me up at his home. And he was the very, very first guy, and the first contact I had in Detroit was Dave Schaefer. And I ended up taking the job, and at that point, Dave and I were the only two when they switched formats to the Drake, Paul Drew era about 1960, oh, I guess it would be 5 or 6. We worked together with Joe Vann, and the late Joe Vann, and Bud Davies, and Ron Knowles, and people like that. Then when they switched formats, Paul Drew came in, and pretty much everybody else departed except Dave and I lasted on, and then eventually Dave left, and I stayed on there through probably 1969 or 70. So he and I do go back indeed a long way, and of course Dave was, earlier on, was with WJBK in the days of Jack the Bellboy. I think he was one of the last Jack the Bellboys. So there's a long history there with Detroit for me. It's almost my, literally this is my hometown because I was born here and grew up some 18, 19 years here in Buffalo. But as far as Detroit's concerned, that's where I spent most of the rest of my remaining career was in Detroit. 5 years off to go to Denver, but basically that's where it was.
I remember when you came back from Denver, you were phoning in, and that was the longest trip from Denver I think anybody's ever taken.
Well, let me tell you what I did. They suggested the idea of checking in because I said I'm going to drive back. I really wasn't much in flying. I had flown for a number of years, and after a couple of close calls, I had some sort of a fear of doing it, so I started to take trains and planes, and not planes, but trains, and then driving. And I thought to myself, well, I'm going to drive back. And they said, terrific. Why don't you call in from the various stops? Well, I got the first 3 or 4, but they said, we can only stretch this out so long because you're going to drive back. I wasn't going to do it in 7 days or whatever. I was going to do it in 2 or 3. So I got to about my third stop somewhere in probably Nebraska. And they said, why don't we catch up, and just to make sure we can stretch it out, we'll pick you so many spots, and then you can make believe you're calling from those places. And so I did another 10 or 12 spots right from Nebraska. And when I did that, of course, everybody thought, gee, he's really making this a long trip. They stretched it out and made it, I don't know, a week and a half promotion, but it was only a 2.5-day trip, you know.
So and yeah, now you're pulling the blinds back and letting people know what radio is really like.
Well, there's a little bit of think about it. There's a little bit of the tomfoolery, and sometimes you have to stretch a little bit. But I don't know whether, and it's a lot of it is done in the mind, of course. I mean, you can sit there and with a microphone, a piece of steel, and a couple of records or songs, and do marvelous things. I mean, I think that's part of the key to why radio in the 50s and 60s, and indeed into the early 70s, was so exciting, because I think you had a lot more creativity. You didn't have as many tools to work with. Today, they more or less, the companies supply you with this format and that format. Those days, there really wasn't much of a format. It was you and whatever you did with the music. And I think you just were allowed to go to the fullest extent of your creative abilities. And so guys like Terry Knight and Dave Schaefer Scotty Regan and people like that, Gary, I'm trying to think of Gary's name, now the president of a company, Doubleday, but he was a Keener in those days.
Gary Stevens?
Gary Stevens, that's it. You know, guys like that would create little characters and have little voices, and indeed even I did, and I wasn't really necessarily known for that, but I had the Shannon Empire, and I had a worm that I called Elmo, and I had a dog at the time named Lobo, and I had various characters, and I had heard Wolfman Jack, and so I did something called the I don't think it was the Wolfman, but it was something like that. I did a takeoff on that. So we all had to be creative in our minds, and consequently the people out there, the theater of the mind, would listen and just love that stuff. I mean, they just thought that was terrific, and we loved it too because it gave us a chance to really create.
What about Bearskin Rug?
Well, that was another creation. That was something that I started out by playing slow ballads, and when I did, I would always conjure up some kind of a romantic idea of, you know, fireplace and a bottle of wine, and I thought, what else would be more romantic than a bearskin rug? That always sounded like something that everybody couldn't afford, but the idea was there that if you were sitting on or laying on a bearskin rug, the idea would be very romantic to go along with the ballads. And so I started with that idea, then I took it a step further. They in those days, they gave you 5 or 6 hours on radio, and that was a long time. And like anybody else, you had to gear down. I think the listener had to gear down, and my ideas were perfectly conducive to it. I was on till 11:30 at night, and I thought, as people are getting up, young people are getting up to go to school or go to work, they were probably getting ready for bed. And I thought, if they're listening now, they probably want to gear down from the day's activity if they finish their studying. And so I took the bearskin rug idea one or two steps further and did a little bit of poetry, nothing really heavy, but some things that would correlate with the music that I was playing, Smokey Robinson, The Miracles and Tracks of My Tears and Castles in the Sand and that sort of thing. And I would tie in a piece of poetry or a reading or a little dissertation, and all of it was ad-lib. I say all of it was, all the dialogue in between. When it came to some poetry, people, listeners, would eventually start sending it in, but I would look in books and find something that would be, I think, relatable to most everybody without being so heavy. Didn't necessarily have to be iambic pentameter or anything like that in the poetry world, but something that they could relate to, and I would do that. So that program was sort of an island, but it was a continuum between the nighttime or overnight hours and what was going on with the rock and roll empire and all that during the early portions of the evening. So I really enjoyed that, and we even did an album, shortly after we started. It became so successful that we went ahead and merchandised and made an album of it.
You sound like you had some kind of educational background. Were you going to be a teacher or something?
Yes, as a matter of fact, right on the money, Tim. I was educated. I went to school. As a matter of fact, my alma mater is here, State Teachers College. It's now called the State University of New York. It's part of that system, and one of the reasons that I went there was because, not necessarily that I wanted to be a teacher, but I had some sort of creative ability in art, and I thought that because of economics, it was right here in town, it was the state university system, a fine organization, a fine unit that didn't cost you the same kinds of money that if you went to the University of Michigan or if you went to another big school, you had to pay probably a quarter of what it would cost you to go to some other big institution. Only trick was that you had to be trained to be a teacher. And I thought, that's not all bad. And I rather enjoyed that. But I found out that the balance of working on radio and doing record hops and merchandising in a weekend could pay almost as much as you could in 2 or 3 weeks as a teacher. So the economy won out. I mean, I thought about it and I said, well, the money has a way of turning your head. So that's, and I, of course, I liked radio too. There's no question about that. I was very enthralled and taken with that. So it was a kind of a fight there for a little while, but surely radio won out.
Is there anything you haven't accomplished in radio that you would like to have?
Oh, gee, I don't know. I set some goals earlier on that I said, one day I would like to do this. I would like to be in New York City, for example. And yet when the time came to eventually go there and get an offer, I turned it down. But I thought to myself, I'd like to be this. I'd like to be the very best at what I do. I'd like to win awards. I mean, all of the things that we all sort of aspire to. And all those goals, save for the going to New York City itself or going to another major city, but Detroit certainly was a major city when I started out, and I was disc jockey of the year, I was the best pop music this, and the awards came along, and I was successful, and the ratings were there, and there was certainly enough income. I was virtually a single man for 35 of my years. I mean, I wasn't married, I didn't have a family, and so everything that I wanted to drive car-wise, I could certainly afford to do. There were no other bills to pay, so I really, everything that I aspired to, generally speaking, I accomplished, and today, I really don't know if there's anything else that I would like to do. Iowa always to be successful where we are. We're sort of regional heroes, although the hero thing is kind of under a subtitle today. It's not quite as big as it was back then, but that's what, in essence, people in radio are. They're local record stars or local media stars. Dick Burton, J.P. McCarthy, you talk about the giants in the business who have been in the market and who have succeeded and who have, you know, come to the 5 and 6 and 7 figure salaries. Those are terrific, and those are stars. There's no question about it, and they're regional stars. Take Dick out of Detroit, or Tom out of Detroit or something, and generally speaking, you don't have a star anymore. You have a guy who's just the same as anybody else until he, you know, builds himself up. That's over a long period of, you know, period of time.
Okay. Listen, I appreciate you talking with us this morning.
It's my pleasure, Tim.
There was something personal that, well, you dated one of the Angels. Let's just come out with it, all right?
Yeah.
Okay? And this is kind of a, after such serious talking, to bring something up like this, we have the Angels coming up next with one of their giant hits. I mean, it'll go down as a classic, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
A little thing called Wow Wow Wee.
Right.
Okay? And we just happen to have a Tom Shannon intro from 1963. Give a listen real quick.
Okay.
It was love at first sight when we saw him at the station that night. He was talking to a bunch of kids. There was something about the boy that made us quit our lids. Wow! Wow, wow, we, and wow, wow, we. Tommy Shannon is the boy for me. Hi, Tommy. Hello, everybody. We're the Angels, and we'd like to welcome all of you to the Tommy Shannon Show.
WHMD, 156, and this is Tim Nixon with Jukebox Memories, taking a look at rock radio of the 60s. The Angels, Wow Wow Wee, of course, Tom Shannon. It was great talking with him, and appreciate everybody we've been in contact with, taking their time out to visit with us this morning. We'll be talking to Bobby Green, who is now down in Houston, in just a few minutes. Remember him from WKNR? Uh-huh. Getting burger stuff all over, man. Eating all the time. He had burger stuff and pizza stuff and lasagna stuff all over the microphone. It must have been a drag coming on after.
Where's everybody running?
Everybody's running to McDonald's, because now every time you buy a delicious Big Mac sandwich, you get a $1 Adidas coupon, and you can use up to 10 of them. That means you can save up to $10. $10 when you buy your next pair of Adidas shoes.
$10 off on a pair of Adidas? Wait for me!
Run, don't walk, to McDonald's and get your Adidas coupons when you buy a hot-off-the-grill Big Mac at participating McDonald's in Michigan. You can use your coupons when you buy your next pair of Adidas shoes at a participating Adidas outlet. Coupons available until October 16th or while supplies last. Remember, coupons must be redeemed by November 30th. Start saving your Adidas coupons today, then keep running back for Adidas coupons and Big Mac.
Now's the time to take a load off your budget at your Metro Detroit Chevy dealers. The new 1984 top Chevy C10 and S10 pickups are rolling into the showrooms, and that means the 83s have got to move out. You know how that works. Once a year discounts on model closeouts that puts you into a whole lot of top truck with a big load of savings. C10s, S10s, Blazers, 4x4s, some extended cabs, and all at 1983 closeout prices. The most popular truck stop in this part of the state is at any one of your Metro Detroit Chevy dealers. But don't lay over too long. At these prices, they won't last long. If you're thinking truck, tough Chevy truck, haul it on out to your Metro Detroit Chevy dealers and load up on the savings during their once-a-year model close-up on every 1983 tough Chevy truck in stock. That's the Metro Detroit Chevy dealers, the ones with the heavy price advantage.
The October Monthly Detroit tells of the turmoil at the Detroit Institute of Art. Allegations of favoritism and questionable spending have put Detroit's jewel of a museum under the glare of public scrutiny. We bring you the Great State Hate Debate. The Wolverines and the Spartans are a breed apart. Get a blue ribbon look at the pet set, Privileged Pets, the New Elite. And Bill Giles takes a retrospective look at 6 years at the helm of the Detroit News. The October Monthly Detroit, on sale now.
During the National Furniture Sale and Sweepstakes, it's Dobbs. For Michigan's largest selection of quality furniture at guaranteed lowest sale prices, it's Dobbs. For 12 months interest-free, it's Dobbs.
Okay, coming up in the next hour, Bobby Green is going to be with us. And plus, all of our artists that we have on the show are all Detroit artists, all local artists. Jack Ryan is here. He'll be talking with us. Tom Knight, of course, knows more about Detroit radio than I think anybody in the entire world, except Father Detroit, who founded the city and who had all of us as little children. All right. My name's Tim Nixon at Jukebox Memories. We're taking a look at rock radio of the 60s. We thank you for joining us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Jukebox Memories on WHND Monroe. All oldies, all the time.
And if you don't
WHMD, Huddock 56, Terry Knight in the pack from 1966. This is Tim Nixon at Jukebox Memories, taking a look at the local artists, the local stars. And Jack Ryan, you have a story about Terry Knight.
Well, when Terry first started at CKLW, or at WJBK, he was quite young, and a lot of his ideas on what music should be played would be brought up at meetings disc jockeys have every week. At that time, they had them so that they'd set out what new records were going to be played, and Terry's ideas were always shot down by the other disc jockeys. Well, one day he left, and he was really very upset, and Mark Avery, one of the other disc jockeys, went over to his apartment to try and cheer him up, and he sat down with Mark and made it quite clear to him. He said that one day he would be such a force in the music business that nobody would ever again tell him what was to be played and when it was to be played, and that they would be in fact playing his music rather than he playing anybody else's. And quite obviously that went on to be true with his work with his group and in Grand Funk Railroad later on.
So he was proven right, and every disc jockey in the world thinks he knows more than his program director. I guarantee that to this day that's the case. I want you to listen to something very closely now. Listen to this.
All right. Show. No more news yet about the Beatles that we have not given you on the air. As we mentioned, they are coming. WKNR will present the Beatles in August. So it's going to be kind of a good thing. They are coming to Detroit this year again. However, there were three or four open dates. And the number one date, the choice, was August 13. However, there are the possibilities of about three other dates that they're considering. And until we know, until they know, too, we won't be able to tell you. And, of course, there will be no ticket sales until there's a date. So as soon as there is, we will let you know. But the Beatles definitely will be coming to Big D in August, sometime around the 13th or 14th. You're on the Green Show. For the Green Show, our heater Thursday temperature at 46. Exchange this hour. You may call if you have a GA7 or a 427 phone number. Give us a call. Woodward 38925 WO38925 if you have a GA7 or a 427 phone number.
Green Show.
I mean, really? All right. Thursday afternoon, March 31st of 1966, and Joanne Adams is our Keter 13 word of the day. If you know Joanne, if you happen to see her around, be sure and say hi for me, okay?
Okay. Bobby Green, the guy exuding all the energy there. Hello, Bobby.
Hello there.
You're down in Houston.
Sounds like a 24-hour cartoon, which I guess is what we have there.
But it was fun, was it not?
Oh, it was fantastic. It really was. It's like anything. You get involved in deeply. You remember the good things. You forget the bad things. And there really weren't that many bad things, and it was. It was a fantastic station with a lot of rapport with the listeners and a lot of empathy and a lot of things going on. So it was great.
Okay, what are you doing now?
Well, I've been in Houston for, my gosh, 12 years. That makes me a native. When you get to this city for that many years, you are definitely a native. And I produce radio and TV commercials and have my own studios. We have four studios here, and we work with ad agencies, and we work with, in fact, occasionally stations and whatever, and producing commercials and presentations and all kinds of fun things.
Do you know that Kevin O'Neill, we spoke with earlier, is our morning man here, and he remembers hearing you on the air in Houston when he was working down there.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I came here with a radio station for, really a short period of time. It was less than a year as operations manager, and there were some weekends when I would go on the air because somebody would be ill or whatever, and I did an air shift for, maybe four or five times. So how about that? Gee, I forgot that one.
Well, he brought it up, and it was totally unsolicited. So apparently you made an impact on him. Okay. One of the things that people remember about you with Detroit radio, I don't know if it ever followed you around, and I've only spoken with you on the phone, so I don't know what you look like, but I have the vision you must be about 350 pounds because you eat food in the studio all the time.
That's weird. I loved to eat. I lived to eat, although although I wasn't overweight, really. In fact, the only time in my life when I gained some weight, I came to Houston and gained about 20 pounds, which I happily took off. But no, I was not that heavy. I must have burned it up somehow. Of course, the way we were working at the radio station, a lot of the things we did, I suppose, did burn up a lot of energy. There really was a lot of energy involved in everything we did on the air. We did some things. I don't know if everybody remembers or if you remember. We did instant pick and play and a thing called instant oldies on weekends.
Well, I'll tell you what. Hang on to that. I'll give you a chance to clear things up. I'm going to sell some groceries for you.
Right.
Hi, folks. Danny Thomas for Singleton Seafoods, the people who bring the great taste of seafood home. Say, when was the last time you and your family sat down to the great taste of shrimp at home? Well, I've got a way you can turn your own dining room into a great seafood restaurant tonight. And with Singleton Shrimp, it's all so easy. Take that wonderful new hand-breaded jumbo butterfly shrimp. I've cooked these up at home myself, and they are delicious. Big, juicy, mouth-watering shrimp, much bigger than what's been in the stores up until now. These are jumbo restaurant-style shrimp, and Singleton hand-breads them one at a time with their unique oriental-style breading. So crispy and light, they fry up crunchy and golden every time. A big hit of the Thomas household, let me tell you. So pick up Singleton's hand-breaded jumbo butterfly shrimp from your grocer's frozen food case today. Let Singleton turn your dining room into a great seafood restaurant tonight.
Look for the money-saving Singleton coupons in this Sunday's paper.
It's Red Cross Shoe Week at Phillips. Hi, I'm Polly Jerome, fashion footwear consultant for Phillips Shoes. I help Phillips decide what shoes to sell. And right now, during Red Cross Shoe Week, we've lined up the season's best styles from Red Cross, Cobbies, Socialites, and Cobby Cuddlers. Phillips has career looks, casual comfort, and fashion-right styles all in your size, even if you're hard to fit. Red Cross Shoe Week means the most styles and the most colors, so it's easy to make the perfect choice. Make this fall the most fashionable and comfortable ever. Visit Phillips now during Red Cross Shoe Week for a colorful preview of Red Cross, Cobbies, Socialites, and Cobby Cuddlers. And remember, we don't charge extra for large sizes. For now, this is Polly Jerome for Phillips Shoes in Northland, Eastland, Westland, Southland, Ann Arbor, Flint, and Toledo.
You'll find it.
Ragweed's growing all over the place.
Get Allerist, the highest level of allergy relief you can buy without a prescription. Allerist mows down ragweed symptoms. Use as directed.
All right, now we're talking to Bobby Green down there in Houston. Bobby, before we took the break, you were speaking of instant oldies.
Yeah, I wanted to mention it only, Tim, because people probably thought we recorded those things as they do today, and I think it's wise, and how it ever happened that we never had any problems, I don't know, but we would have instant oldies, and actually use records. We were not yet using cartridges. They were not taped. We were using records. And I would pile up maybe 6 years of records on a little shelf above the console, and people would call in, and we would actually put them right on the air, and they'd say, "Hi, I'm Zelda Schwartz, and I go to so-and-so school. How you doing?" We'd talk, and they'd say, "I'd like to hear Johnny Angel or Shelley Fabrave." And we would press a little cartridge that said, "No sooner said than done." And within that amount of time, we had already grabbed the record and queued it up live on the air. That was a challenge, and that, I think that kept the pounds off.
Now, did you have a staff working with you on that?
No, I really didn't. We had some telephone operators that would come in occasionally and help us with some of the people who were going on to bigger and better things, such as Tom Ryan at the time. Tommy Ryan was a telephone operator, a guy by the name of Big V that used to be a telephone operator who went on to Lansing. I don't know where he is now on radio. Greg Innes, who was probably the biggest collector of old radio programs in the world, who's still in Detroit. And they would come in occasionally, but we really got to the point where when we heard a female, I reached to the left side. When I heard a male voice, I reached to the right side. We actually had them categorized at that time to the point where we knew they were probably going to ask something from this pile here because they sound like they're between the ages of 11 and 15 and they're a male, and I think he's going to ask for so-and-so. And I'd say the only times it didn't work out, then we just talk a little longer or grab the record from the other pile.
Well, I think that's it's amazing that you were able to pull it off, but then there were a lot of amazing things going on at Keener and in the Motor City at the time. What sticks out in your mind? Like, you were there, what, 65 to 68 era?
I was there just before we started in 63 and helped set up the original Keener. and did all the production, came up with all the contests. And in fact, during that period of time, that was my thing, to come up with the production and the contest for the station.
Okay.
The only things, I guess, that stick out in the mind, and maybe people remember, number one, our first group of people when we started Keener in November of 63, we had Mort Crowley in the mornings. We had Robin Seymour, which is, I'm sure, a familiar name to everybody in Detroit for many, many, many years. More than he would like to think, I think. Jim Sanders, Gary Stevens, myself, and Bill Phillips. And that was it. There were just six of us at the time. Mort Crowley did something very unusual, and I think he was a phenomenally talented guy. And he got on the air after being on the air perhaps for 5 or 6 months. I don't remember. It was a short period of time. Closed the studio door and locked it and did a tirade against the phone company because all of our telephone lines were out and we couldn't do any requests. And, of course, that was his last show. It was unusual.
You got rid of him for that, huh?
Yeah. Swingin' Sweeney then was hired. Frank Sweeney, a heck of a nice guy, who never, ever, a lot of people thought Swingin' Sweeney perhaps imbibed a little too much, and that was not true. Swingin' Sweeney lived a very sheltered existence, didn't do anything unusual except that he did not sleep at night. He was an insomniac. So he had a morning show and would very often start to talk a little bit like this because he really was exhausted. He couldn't keep his eyes open, and he finally ended his career at WKNR by falling asleep on the air early in the morning around 6:15 or whatever it was. And in fact, a lot of people, I guess, have saved and circulated the tape of Swingin' Sweeney falling on the air to a Sonny and Cher record, which ended, and there about 15 minutes of silence after that. So that was unusual. But the only fun thing I recall is talking about pizza and eating was that one night we did not receive any cakes, pizzas, or tacos, or whatever else we were given, and I said on the air, just in passing, gee, it'd be nice if somebody would bring a pizza by. And this is about 1965. And something that I decided to do, I think I'm going to grab a microphone and go out on Michigan Avenue and sit here with a chair and table and wait for my pizza, which I did. We got 200 feet of cord and an old one of those RCA microphones that looks like a hot dog, and we took it out on Michigan Avenue, and within half an hour, the Dearborn police came and cleared Michigan Avenue, and I had to eat, I would say, at least one bite of over 500 pizzas that night.
Are you serious?
That is the truth, and it's something it's really incredible. It's, I guess we all like to think at that time, boy, see, there's the power of radio, folks, and our sales department, in fact, even made hay with that.
Yeah, I bet they made a lot of dough with that, too.
There you go.
Okay. Well, listen, we thank you for talking to us. Was Keener your favorite radio station?
Unquestionably. It was not the music I played and the things I got involved in. I was not like a Scotty Regan or some of the others who were very involved in the music. I was more involved in just the station and how is the station going to sound and how is the production going to be and what contest are we going to do next month. And so, for me, I may not have gone home and listened to some of the songs we played, but I enjoy playing them on the air. So, Keener certainly was my favorite.
Well, excellent. We thank you for joining us today. Wish you the best down there.
My pleasure.
With Bob Green Productions in Houston. And I understand you do some national commercials. You did Michigan Milk Producers, as a matter of fact, all the way down there in Houston.
Yeah, and that and some Kmarts and some other things.
Well, we appreciate you, and thank you for talking with us.
All right.
Let's see if this brings back some memories for you.
WKNR Music, Keener. No man.
letters and call letters going through my brain today. I have to stop and think, where am I today? This has been a fun show. Jukebox Memories, taking a look at rock radio of the 60s. More to come with Scott Regan. And we need to sell some groceries first and just kind of get that out of the way. Then we'll be right back with Scott Regan. And you just heard Bobby Green from Keener. They were there at the same time. And we still have Craig Reed yet to come. And some things from Don Z. Clark Reed, isn't that what I said?
Craig.
Oh, I said Craig? Well, I meant Clark. Okay, and let's see. Who else? We've got some a little thing on Lee Allen and Ernie D, Frantic Ernie D. Remember him from JLB? He may have a conflict. He may not get back with us, but we've got plenty of stuff still to come. So you stick right around. And, honey, WHND.
You want to keep your car in good repair for as long as you can. Well, now there's a guarantee on car repairs that lasts even if you keep your car past the turn of the century. It's called the Lifetime Service Guarantee, a written commitment direct from participating Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers, only to Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury owners. The way it works is simple. You pay for a covered repair once and never again, because the dealer who did the work will fix it free, free parts, free labor, for as long as you own your car. And the Lifetime Service Guarantee itself is free, a limited warranty on thousands of parts in normal use. Routine maintenance parts, belts, hoses, sheet metal, and upholstery aren't covered. But that's about it. And it doesn't matter if your car or light truck is new or used or where you bought it. The repair stays covered in writing. Ask for all the details on the Lifetime Service Guarantee from participating Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers. We fix cars for keeps.
White Castle has the taste some people won't live without.
Consider these true stories. In Arizona, transplanted Midwesterners order a truckload of 100,000 White Castle hamburgers, which are not normally sold west of Minneapolis. A pregnant wife in Las Vegas craves White Castles, and her father back in Ohio sends them air freight. A New Yorker living in San Francisco has just one rule for visiting house guests. Bring me White Castle hamburgers. A couple return from Colorado to their Michigan hometown to be married. Having missed White Castles so much, the wedding party stops for a few on the way to their reception. A homesick airman becomes the most popular person on the North Dakota base when mom sends White Castles from home. Doesn't knowing what some people will do to get White Castles make you glad we're near you?
White Castle has a taste some people won't live without.
Maybe you've had a hard day at the office. Maybe you've had a hard day on the line. Or maybe you had a really hard day at home. At the end of your day, you need to unwind, relax, take it easy. You know what time that is. Time for Barney Miller.
Go for it, go for it.
My very words to Bernice.
Yes, Barney Miller on Channel 4, weekday afternoons at 5. Enjoy a refreshing half hour of the fun that only Barney Miller contains. After you've tried the rest, go for the best. Afternoons at 5, it's time for Barney Miller. Then at 5:30 and 6.
Good evening, I'm Mort Krim. There are more.
Get all the latest from the News 14. Mort, Carmen, Jennifer, Mal, and Al. Detroit's best. Putting the go for it spirit to work for you every day. Barney Miller at 5 and News 4 at 5:30 and 6. After your work is done, it's just what you need. So go for it.
Okay, continuing with Jukebox Memories, rock radio of the 60s, one of the names that frequently pops out among the first when somebody says, do you remember a disc jockey from the 60s? Scotty Regan.
Hello, this is Paul McCartney, talking to a gentleman called Scott Regan who does his best to keep you happy.
Teach me. Does he have? Do you have your harmonica?
Oh, yeah.
All right. You're going to teach me how to sing.
Right.
We made a bargain that he will teach me how to sing if I teach him how to be a disc jockey. Deal?
Deal. Definitely a deal.
Okay. Now, what are you going to teach me?
Well, first of all, we got to get the key, you know.
Okay.
That's the most important thing of all is the key. Now, this key will be D.
D.
Yeah, D.
That's a good key.
Is that too high for you?
I really don't know.
See,
Oh, that's too high.
Let's see now. Yeah, that's the key. Now say, go ahead.
Okay.
It's just the beginning of the beginning. He's got that. Let me see what else you can do now. Say.
Well, I'm really sorry.
Putting me
on. Come on now,
you almost got it.
Say
W-K. Say that. Just say
W-K-N-R Keener
13. Oh, you got it.
Oh, man.
Show tonight. Hope you'll be listening for Scotty and the Supremes tonight.
Hello there, this is Florence.
Hi, I'm Mary. This is Diane. Hoping you'll spend tonight with the Supremes on the Scott Regan Show. My world is empty without you.
Scott Burger Club, and I don't mind. And if you'd like to join, send your name and address to the Beatles Fan Club, Lands, England.
Scott Burger.
Hi, this is Marvin Gaye. Hope you'll be listening when I visit the Scott Burger on Keener 13. It's what's happening, baby.
Time now for more Scott Regan, Herman Nation. When we asked Herman what kind of girls he likes, Herman said,
I prefer feminine type girls.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and with hair, long hair, or short hair, or medium hair. All kinds of girls. Just long as just as long as you got good personalities. And, you know.
For a 23-year-old to be able to interview the Beatles, the hottest act in all of the world at the time.
Yeah. Also, by the way, which is something else that was quite astonishing. I was astonished at all this. It was almost like this was happening. It's almost as though I were doing all these things. And all these things were happening to me, and I knew they were happening to me, and I knew I was involved, and I knew I was interviewing the Beatles, and I went on the Beatle tour, half the Beatle tour in 66, and I saw them in Chicago and L.A. and Cleveland and one or two, I think Kansas City I saw them as well. And although I knew all these things were happening to me, it was also at the same time as though I were watching all these things happening to me.
To change the mood just a little bit, Motown.
Barry Gordy was sort of Berry Gordy was the inspiration for the company. And you could see his personality in some of the other people that worked at that company. And you could also feel his personality in the music. Holland Dozier Holland, Brian Holland in particular, and the way I always saw it, had a lot of Berry Gordy's personality.
Did you meet Berry Gordy?
Yeah, several times.
How about Holland, Dozier Holland, the brothers and collaborators?
Did you know those people?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was sort of at that moment, I was either on the radio or at Motown.
Oh, you worked for Motown Records?
No, no, I didn't work there. I just hung around.
Oh, okay.
Hung around in the studio and, got to know the artists and spent some time at their homes and went to their parties. I wasn't their most intimate friend, but I was, you know, I was involved in that sort of thing. I'd go in the studio and watch them record, and the Temptations and Stevie Wonder and Marvin Gaye and that whole, you know, the whole thing that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, it was easier because it was like, Motown was like three houses on Grand Boulevard.
Yeah.
And they didn't have, now they're in Hollywood and they have a building and they're on five floors and you have to have a, you know, a pass to get in and you have to, it's much different. Much, much different.
All right, that's Scotty Regan. We will return with Scotty. Scotty couldn't be on live today, mainly because he's doing a radio show in New York City on Sunday mornings. But he is very much involved in what's going on. He was involved in the Motor City, and I'll tell you, people just respond so well when you talk about Scotty Regan, as they do about Tom Shannon, as they do about Dave Schaefer, and Bobby Green, and everybody else we've spoken with today. We've got more yet. Clark Reed will be coming up, and some more Scotty Regan interview, as well as some other interesting things. Now, I also have a little chance for you to win something. Jack Ryan, who just happens to be the writer of Recollections. I keep wanting to call it Reflections. You know, the basic Supreme song there. But this is Recollections. I'm having a real hard time with this. The Motown Sound by the People Who Made It is a book that Jack wrote. And Jack, you're a writer for, is it GNS Publishing?
C&G.
C&G. I knew it was some initials in there. How do you want to give this to somebody? How do you want to give it away? And wait, first I have a question.
Sure.
That you have a chapter in there about disc jockeys.
Right.
Now here you're talking about Motown,
mm-hmm,
and the musicians and the Gordys and all the good stuff going on there, and you included the basic radio lowlife disc jockey like myself in that book. Why?
Well, we had this policy that all the artists that I interviewed for the book, to a man or lady, said that they owed a lot to the disc jockeys that played their records and did promos for them and had them out to hops, gave them the exposure they needed. And quite honestly, the records would have never seen the light of day if it weren't for the disc jockeys that played them. You can record the best record in the world, and if it doesn't get on the air, well, you know, you just have this nice record in your hand. And to, like I say, Mary Wilson of the Supremes, Martha Reeves of Martha and the Vandellas, the Contours, everybody. Anytime any of the jocks, and particularly the ones you've had on this morning, Dave Schaefer, Tom Shannon.